You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Annie Fry Show.
We inherited a mess, and I'm not sure where all these deficit hawks were when the team Biden was blowing out the deficit. So, you know, last year was 6.7% of GDP, which was the highest it had been when we weren't in a recession, weren't at war. And as your previous guest said, we don't have a tax collection problem. We have a spending problem, and we are trying to get that under control. We are also trying to accelerate growth because changing the growth trajectory upward solves a lot of the deficit problems.
Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, talking about we don't have a tax problem. We have a spending problem, and we are now in a position where those Trump tax cuts, the ones we've been hearing about from Steve Moore for so long, have officially been made permanent in the signing of the Big Beautiful Bill. Steve Moore, welcome back to the show, distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation. How excited are you to know that those Trump tax cuts were made permanent last weekend?
Hi, Annie. And this is a great, great bill. It is, if you're a conservative like I am and like you are, it has so many policy triumphs and victories, things that we've worked for 30 years, not just extending the Trump tax cuts, which was absolutely essential, or else we would have faced a $4 trillion tax increase next year. And every one of your listeners would have, if you're at the head of a household, you'd be paying $2,000 more taxes next year. But there's all sorts of things. It defunds Planned Parenthood. It allows more money for school choice, so parents can choose good schools for their kids. It has expanded health savings accounts. It expands empowerment zones for low-income areas so that we can bring development to inner cities. It gets rid of remember the electric vehicle mandate?
Mm-hmm.
We get rid of that. Remember the student loan, the student loan bailouts? We get rid of those. I mean, I could go on and on. This is a great bill. It's not a perfect bill, but it's a very good bill. We're going to bring the deficit down by growing the economy, by getting more people back into jobs and working. And if you notice, the stock market has been, you know, has been really good. It's not so good today because some of the tariff news. But, you know, we got low inflation, low unemployment, a lot of hiring going on. It's just a beautiful picture.
So, you know, I think about how massive, like the size of this thing and the importance. I've spoke with so many legislators in the White House as well. They're like, you have to do this through the reconciliation process. So there's like technical in the weeds stuff that made this bill need to be so big so they could get so much done with that simple majority in the Senate. I want to know, now that the tax cuts are made permanent and you're talking about all these other things in this bill that are great, what is your next crusade? Where is the next focus for the Trump administration that you want to see them continue to invest in the Trump economic miracle?
Well, can't I just savor the victory for a moment? I mean,
no, I know you can't. I know you're already working on
something. On the next crusade. But you're right. I mean, we're always looking forward. Look, we want to get these trade deals done. And Trump announced some new tariffs today that is a kind of shot at the bow of Korea and Japan to come to the table. And I think they will, and we'll get better trade deals. I'd like to see some real spending cuts. I think you would too. Let's, you know, now we turn to the budget. You know, everybody's, oh my God, this is increasing the deficit. Okay, let's see if these Democrats are willing to stand up and cut some of the bloat out of the budget. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a $7 trillion budget right now. Pre-COVID, we're $5 trillion. All we have to do is go back to pre-COVID spending, and we balance the budget, for goodness sakes. So it's not that hard, but you need some spending discipline. I'm not just blaming the Democrats, by the way. The Republicans love to spend money we don't have, too. But, you know, when you've got an institution that's losing $2 trillion, you've got to cut back on your expenditures.
Do you think that this Congress has the stomach to do it?
Probably not, to be honest with you. I mean, look, the Republicans have very slim majorities, and the Democrats, I mean, I want to mention something, Annie, because it depresses me, frankly, and I'm in a good mood, but not one Democrat in the entire House and the entire Senate, that's out of something like 260 Democrats that are in Washington and Congress, every single one of them voted against this bill. And in other words, they voted to allow taxes to go up by $4 trillion next year. I mean, you would only do that if you intentionally wanted to hurt the economy and hurt the American workers and families. I don't get the logic of it. It used to be, you know, I go back to the Reagan years, as you know, Reagan did two historic tax cuts. He got a lot of Democrats to vote for those bills. It wasn't such a politically poisoned atmosphere where you just vote against something because it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, completely. You know, and when we scratch our heads and we're trying to think, what does the Democrat Party even stand for? I'm going to point you, we're speaking with Steve Moore right now, to New York City, where you have a Democratic socialist, which we'll just on this show refer to as a socialist, running as the lead Democrat candidate for mayor. He hates capitalism. He says he has many critiques of it. He says billionaires shouldn't exist. If New York City elects this guy, what's going to happen?
Well, you know, as you know, we've talked about this many times. You know, I hail from Chicago, which I think is one of the great cities. And I love Chicago. I grew up in Wrigley Field. I saw the Cubs and Cardinals play all the time.
Hey, we're not talking about that this weekend. We're not talking about that this weekend. That's not good. Not good at all.
But anyway, so I think Chicago's a world-class city. And you've seen with 3 or 4 years now of this socialist mayor how it's destroyed the city. Mm-hmm. And you can just see it every time you go. It's heartbreaking. And now New York's going to do the same thing. You know, they need a Rudy. Remember Rudy Giuliani? When he came in, he fixed New York, not through socialism, but by free market capitalism and fighting the crime, getting businesses, cutting taxes, things like that. This guy, he wants the government to run the grocery stores. He wants to basically raise the New York is already the highest tax place in North America, and he wants to raise the taxes again. Yeah. So I pray that this guy doesn't win. And by the way, I saw him over the weekend give a speech. I have to say he's very charismatic, a very charming guy. But boy, he's dangerous because he has every wrong idea. I think the New York people, the voters, will be smart enough not to elect him. But it's going to be close.
Well, last question before we let you go. We always appreciate your time. Steve Moore speaking with us right now. You brought up the socialistic mayor in Chicago. Governor J.B. Pritzker, probably presidential hopeful in the next go around, has announced that he's going to likely seek a third term, which kind of seems king-like to me. But, you know, it is what it is. You think that the people of Illinois have gotten tired of J.B. Pritzker and would maybe look to another candidate should there be a good one?
Well, I haven't lived there in a while. I'm going to visit some family next weekend. But look, the problem for Illinois is that, there was just a new study that came out by United Van Lines, which looks at, you know, where people are moving to or from. And they've got the data because that's where people, you know, rent the trucks when they're moving. And the three states that have had the most outbound traffic, in other words, where people are moving from, not moving to, are New Jersey, New York, and Illinois. So the problem for Illinois is the people who are moving are the successful people, the people who are Republican voters. So I don't see how anybody could beat Pritzker because there aren't any Republicans left in Illinois. They've all gone to Florida and Texas and Tennessee.
There's a few across the river in Mississippi, Steve. Across the Mississippi River. We're sitting over there waving.
There you go.
Last question.
A lot of them moved to Missouri.
If you were advising a candidate, likely on the Republican side, would have to be a moderate on a lot of issues, but maybe a fiscally sound, common sense person. Are there any things, is there any one particular thing in the state of Illinois you would advise them economically to do to get the state to do a 180 and get back in the right direction?
Oh, well, I mean, I would advise this to any governor, and I've advised a lot of governors to do it. And that is, you really want to put some rocket fuel in your economy? You got to do two things. One, eliminate your income tax. The states, there are nine states that have no income tax. They're booming, absolutely booming. And the second thing you have to do is you have to be a right-to-work state. You have to, you know, businesses will not locate in states where you're forced unionism. And I think Missouri is a right-to-work state. I don't remember whether you are or not.
It's still a fight here in the state of Missouri. Not quite yet.
Well, you should do it, because when you do it, and by the way, it's not anti-union, it's just saying, well, every worker should have the right to join the union or not join the union, and shouldn't be imposed by government. So those are the two things that would really turn around Illinois, and boy, new leadership would help too. Mm-hmm. Boy, I mean, you know, I don't get it. Pritzker is going to, what's he going to do? He wants to run for president, you know.
Yeah.
Is he going to run on his record? I'm going to make America look like Illinois? Gee, that's a good line.
Well, let me invite you, after you stay with family in Chicago next week, and to stay for a while, like 4 or 5 years, and I'll vote for you, Steve Moore, for governor. How's that sound?
I'd have to regain residence, but no, it's heartbreaking. I mean, when we had a lot of good politicians in Illinois back in the day, but this is what happens when progressives take over a place. They ruin it. Mm-hmm. Look what they've done to San Francisco. Look what they've done to New York. Look what they're doing to so many of our great cities are being destroyed by progressive governance. We need more Rudy Giuliani's.
Yeah, I completely agree. Thank you so much for the time, Steve Moore. Congratulations. Okay. Enjoy the moment, and then we'll get back to work. Take care. Bye-bye. Steve Moore, the Distinguished Fellow in Economics at Heritage Foundation. He's a Trump economic advisor, and his book, The Trump Economic Miracle and the Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again, you could watch. It's probably like a playbook for what's taking place right now. He certainly was at the forefront of establishing the Trump tax cuts originally, and working hard to get them made permanent. He's kind of feel pretty excited about that, being a part of the genesis of them in the first term, waiting this long, knowing that this deadline was going to come and go. And should Donald Trump not have won the election, of course, that would be toast for sure. Imagine if Kamala would have, like, imagine what would have happened.
Yeah, that's the thing that I have to keep reminding myself is American politics is a binary choice. It's always going to be one or the other.
You talking to Elon?
I am. Dear Elon.
Is he listening?
Do not do what you're about to do. But the difference between these administrations is so vast. And the fact that there is such a pushback on even spending what they've spent, which is a lot less than Democrats were spending, I'm encouraged by that. Because there is, like he said at the beginning of that interview, there is a lot in this bill that is very mm-hmm. good that conservatives, Republicans, libertarians have been working on for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And they finally got it in there. And we do have to celebrate those things.
We're going to take a break here. And in about 15 minutes from right now, we're going to get an update from Eben Brown, Fox News Radio national correspondent from Texas. In Texas, I should say, on the just absolutely traumatic flooding. The death toll is climbing. It's nearing 90 if it hasn't hit there already. Children, gosh, Lord have mercy. We'll just leave it there. We'll talk about the poll when we come back. Don't go away. I'm all out of faith.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
You remember when I told you that Molly, like little Molly, you'd say Michael Jackson, and she'd go, hee-hee.
Yeah.
She was like two. Maybe even younger. I don't know. I could still train her to do stuff, cool stuff like that.
You could have your older kids do it too. I could do it.
They're probably listening right now, but they're just not as cute. It's cute when they're little too. Hey, kids, get your hands off your hips. They're going, oh. Molly could get away with it, though.
When you come home today, they're all going to do it. You're going to be like, oh.
All the time. that is the better version of that song. Alien Ant Farm came out with their version of Annie, Are You Okay? When I was maybe a junior in high school. That was pleasant.
Was it?
Yeah. No. Uh-uh.
I would have had fun with it if it was my name. But you act like it was a burden.
Oh.
How many times can you be asked if you're okay in a day and be chill about it? Especially when
8-9
individual people ask you that, they ask you like 13 times in a row.
Well, because they're saying the song. They're saying, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie?
No, there's an extra, are you okay?
Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? And you're like, oh, yeah, that's super funny. Like the next day. Is it new? Is it new every morning? Like, is it a reset that you could take it a couple more times each day?
His mercies are new every morning. That was not okay every morning. No, absolutely
joy
not.
Joy comes in the morning.
And it was also a little ragier than Michael Jackson's is creepy, kind of.
Yeah, it is.
There's a little bit of darkness to that. There's a little bit of rage in Alien Ant Farm.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
It's a band.
I know it, but what is it?
It's ants, but they have a ton of...
An immigration problem.
Probing.
this is a development. I told you that we had the dumpster delivered to the house last week. Big, big time in my life is dumpster week. And usually we were going every other week, but we had some big furniture that we needed to get rid of. And I'm like, get the dumpster here. We'll put it all in there. And we'll purge everything that we can possibly, like anything that we put and is sitting where we put it when the dumpster got there last, that needs to go. Get it out.
Like the counters.
No, we've used those.
Oh, you've used, okay. So it's not just things that have
it's
not
like
moved.
Completely bare house. So they're going through the storage closet right now downstairs in my house. And my husband just sent me a picture. And I have to share it here. I'm going to share it with the audience on the YouTube. But what do you see there?
Oh, wow.
See here. Oh, yeah. That's the old Beckett.
My did you say June 2025? Or 1990?
I can't see it. I can't see on the picture enough.
Is it like February 1995 or something like that? I don't think it says on the picture.
It does. It's just so small. I don't know that we could read it.
U.S. 295 February. I think it's February 1995.
Babe, I think you're right.
He'll message me. I'm so excited about that. I told you I had it, and I remember that teal color that was on top of it. I was huge into baseball cards, probably starting in about 1991, and then through junior high, I definitely continued to collect them. I think I still paid attention to them in high school, but not as much. But boy, I have a lot of them. I was excited to
see
that.
I do too.
Do you know where yours are?
Oh, yeah. And they're all still in binders, the good ones.
Yeah.
Well, the good ones.
Did you organize
them? You look back,
you're
like, wow, Leaf 1992, Rafael Palmeiro.
Amen.
Wonder what that's worth today.
You have them in the home run hitting section. I organized mine by team, alphabetically by team, American League and National League, and then alphabetically in the team by last
name. In the binders?
Yes.
Oh, you put them all in binders? Because I put all the commons just in stacks.
I put all of them in binders, and if I had duplicates, I wouldn't put duplicates in the binder, but then it kind of got out of hand.
Yeah.
A lot of binders.
All of my stacks, the problem is they're all in bins in the basement now, and the rubber bands are getting so old. Mm-hmm. That they'll start to snap. And so, yeah, I had them in all teams, and I had the most Cardinals, so the Cardinals had like a couple stacks. But they're starting to fall apart, and now they're just becoming a big mass of baseball cards, and I did all that work.
Those were the days. Simple
those
days.
Those were the days, man.
The YouTube live chat poll for today. You go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry. You can also go to AnnieFryShow.com, and our live video is up at AnnieFryShow.com. You can do that every day. And if you click on that video, you'll get taken to YouTube and you can watch and see the chat. The chat has to be on YouTube. That's just the way it works. But we put a poll up there every day in the live chat of the live video. And today's is, did Epstein kill himself and have no client list? You've got three options. The first one is yes. So that's the report that came out over the weekend that Epstein did not have a client list. Or I don't know specifically if it were that Epstein, that they don't have a client list. That a client list doesn't exist, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't have it. The Justice Department doesn't have it. But there was a lot of reason to think that, the Trump administration really does have something here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. And this was part of the fever pitch of things going on right at the beginning of the Trump administration. You know, there was 8,000 things to be paying attention to during that time. And if you remember, you'd have people like Pam Bondi coming out and talking about it. Alina Haba came out and talked about it.
But in this case, in Epstein's case, it is incredibly disturbing. We have flight logs. We have information, names that will come out.
Is it going to be shocking?
I don't see how it's not shocking that there were so many individuals that were hidden and kept secret and not been held accountable. Let's talk about the reverse. I believe in accountability. So you have to now go through your process. Now, I won't say they're guilty until they go through their time in court. But again, now it's time for accountability. We have seen for so many years, Pierce, in this country, many investigations, subpoenas, testimonies in Congress, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a general frustration with accountability. We take it halfway, we don't take it home.
So accountability. We take it halfway, but we don't take it home. Now the Trump administration is saying he killed himself. You saw that video of Dan Bongino and Kash Patel sitting there, and they're like, the evidence says he killed himself.
Yeah. Who is he with? Maria Bartiromo or somebody?
And I think that? So. And he's when they're sitting there, I cannot tell, and I'm usually good at these things, but I cannot tell if they've got someone holding a gun to their head off screen and they're saying what they have to say, or if they're just really incredibly disappointed to report that that's the case.
I think it's the latter.
I actually think, to that point, Ryan, that if this is in fact true, that he killed himself, there's no client list, Piers Morgan says, is it going to be shocking? And Alina Hava says, I don't know how it can't be. The most shocking thing is what is happening right now.
Yeah.
This is an entire 180, but we've been breadcrumbed. And this, we've talked about conspiracy theories prior to the election. Now, like, what are the conspiracy theories you just really want to know the absolute truth on? Do you remember having that conversation? Mm-hmm. And in the midst of having that conversation, we're saying, I want the whole truth. And I think you were with me, Ryan. I want the whole truth, even if it's disappointing. Even if the big, scary monster conspiracy theory is like not. That there is a Occam's razor, obvious explanation to what happened and what we've been made to believe, that there's no evidence that supports it. And it's just a big drama-inducing story. It would take a lot of bravery for the Trump administration to come out here and say this and just be like, womp, womp, there is nothing there. And because it would be very easy to string along the investigation, mm-hmm. to keep those fires burning. Super easy to do that. Because everybody has already kind of concluded what they believe about this. They're just waiting for the powers that be to admit it.
I don't know that they're saying for sure that the investigation is over, though. They are saying that they have video, and they released the video, of nobody going into Epstein's cell. And so they're saying we don't have any evidence that he didn't kill himself. So that's one thing. The client list is another, but that's a specific list. That doesn't mean they don't still have video.
Well, that brings me to the YouTube poll question options, because the answer that you have to vote on are obviously yes. But then we also have no, that the Trump administration is playing chess here with what they're releasing, or the Trump administration is messing up. We've got a really quick break here. We've got to get to the most important story to talk about today, and that's that tragic flooding situation in Texas and Kirk County. We're going to get the latest from Evan Brown in just a minute. Don't go away. It was Sunday.
What a Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
School, thankfully, you know, praise the Lord, was found. She floated on a mattress for 3 hours yesterday morning, and we just got the text notice that she survived and we've located her and that she's safe and sound. So we're hoping for stories like that, but obviously we're deeply concerned about the remaining little girls that we've not found.
So that is Representative Chip Roy in Texas. He's of course a representative in Texas, and the numbers keep climbing. This tragedy is, it's hard to pay attention to, but it is important that we do. Our prayers are going up unceasingly. Let's get to the latest with Eben Brown, Fox News Radio national correspondent. Eben, thank you for being here with this difficult story to report on, but important. What can you tell us?
Certainly. What I can tell you is that we now believe that at least 89 people have died. We expect that number to increase, sadly, as the searches continue. Statistically, that will happen. By the grace of God, it won't. By the grace of God, they'll find people alive. And that's what we really do hope for.
But
in the meantime, they have to proceed accordingly and do their job and try to find as many people as they can, living or dead. And this has been described as a 100 or 500 year flood event, mm-hmm. that there's no historical record of something this severe happening in this area. Yes, there have been other floods of the Guadalupe River. There have been deadly floods of the Guadalupe River in this area, but nothing to the extent like this, where it rose 26, 27 feet with about, you know, in about 45 minutes in the overnight hours, which created all sorts of havoc. Even the professional rescuers, people who are swift water certified, were getting washed away in their vehicles as they tried to go to conduct these rescues. So it's a very dangerous situation, and hopefully we don't ever see a repeat of something like this again. It does bring back some images or feelings of what happened last year in Asheville, North Carolina, and surrounding towns. Pretty much a different situation, but a similar outcome, something absolutely horrific.
I wanted to ask you, just to clarify on your earlier comments there, this is still a rescue operation. It hasn't been made to a recovery yet.
Correct. They are still in search and rescue mode. They believe that they have the chance of finding people alive. And so they will do that until they really, they statistically can't, you know, expect to find people living anymore. There are people who are looking for their family members, and very specifically children. One of the things that makes this so horrific is that the Guadalupe River area in the hill country of Texas is home to dozens of sleepaway camps. And one of them that you've probably heard about so far today, this Camp Mystic, a Christian girls camp, very famous camp in Texas, been around for about 100 years. And it's been owned by the same family for many generations. The owner of it died while trying to rescue his campers. And so this just goes to show how horrific this has been. And there are still missing people from the camp, children and staff. So when you think of sleepaway camp in the summer, as someone who's a sleepaway camp alum myself,
sure.
You think of good memories. You know, it was you get away from your parents, you get out to the country, you're disconnected, you have a different set of friends than you do during the year, maybe. And you have all these kinds of adventures. And this is not, this obviously isn't what you sign up for. And this is just the worst thing that could ever, I don't even think people could imagine something like this. Mm-hmm. Obviously they didn't.
No, it's horrific. And as somebody myself as well, went to and have had family involved here in our area, in Pierre Marquette area, going to camp, church camp for a week in the summer. In a lot of cases, your year kind of revolved around it. There was summer leading up to camp, and then there were the memories after it. Is there any obvious negligence that on behalf of the camp or the community in not preparing? You mentioned it, a 100-year, 500-year flood.
Yeah, I don't know how you would have prepared for something like this. There's going to be a time for the evaluations, mm-hmm. right? There's right now today, there's a lot of Monday morning or I guess afternoon quarterbacking. We should do that next Monday. Mm-hmm. I think right now, this Monday today is to pray and to hope and to offer support for those who are looking for a way to help out. We at Fox have set up a donation link. This is you can give with confidence. And I'll give you that link in just a moment as I pull it up here in my email.
Sure.
Forgive me one second.
And while you're talking about it, we're speaking with, you're looking forward, Eben Brown with us right now, Fox News Radio national correspondent. You can follow him at Fox Eben Brown, E-B-E-N, to stay updated and connected there. The stories that are coming out, there are some absolutely heroic stories that are coming out that involve in so many life saves and some lives given to save lives. The more that comes out, the more burdensome and heavy the story is. But bringing attention to it like you were doing, Eben, allows people to know how to help, how to contribute, even from afar here in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, and that link is go.fox/TXFloodRelief, and it will direct you to a local charity in Kerr County, Texas, Kerrville. They are the ones on the ground doing a lot of good work, and so you can take advantage of that. If you have other entities you want to donate to, Salvation Army, very much involved with what's going on right now. Obviously do your own work mm-hmm. on that, but that's one you can give to. It's go.fox/TXFloodRelief. And that's really what everyone else can do at this point. I think it's a reminder that no matter how prepared you are based on what the history is, something could come along that you're just not prepared for, that you wouldn't be expected to be prepared for. And in the case of the Texas Hill Country, where cell service can be spotty, we do have to ask some questions. Did someone have a weather radio, that $15 thing you can buy at the grocery store that looks like it's a relic of the 1970s?
A radio.
A radio, exactly. Uh-huh. And it plugs into the wall, and it takes maybe a AA battery for power backup. And here's something that the young kids might not know. It doesn't require a monthly subscription. It just exists. So, and what it'll do is it's tuned into you. You can set it to your local NOAA weather radio station, which is a special radio band for NOAA weather radio. And if there's a catastrophe headed your way that's weather related, they will send out alerts and they will make that thing give an annoying loud beep that you just will shake you in the middle of the night. And that's what gets you out of bed to run for cover. Here in Florida, we rely on it because we do have tornado risks, and that thing will go off and we got to get everyone up and get into the laundry room.
Yes, amen to that.
The risk is over. Yeah,
certainly here we experience that with tornadoes here in the Midwest, and it's a very, as you mentioned, a very affordable thing for everybody. If we're taking lessons from this instance, that is a very simple thing to do this afternoon to protect ourselves. I wanted to ask you too, obviously we're talking about the devastation of loss of life right now, but what mm-hmm. about the flood as it came through? I'm thinking about, you mentioned Florida. We see the hurricane aftermath, the houses, the homes that are lost, the businesses that are lost. Is the devastation from a infrastructure, is that as catastrophic as the loss of life?
There are some comparables. This had to do with flash flooding of a swelling river as opposed to something like wind destruction. But yes, it washed homes away off foundations. It did significant damage to power infrastructure. They don't know when those lights will come back on. Mm-hmm. The power utility has said there is just so much damage, it's going to take a while to survey everything and get those repairs made to the infrastructure before they can even get repairs made to the home and business hookups. So, this will take a while. Hopefully it won't take that much of a while. But again, if there's a home washed off its foundation, there's nothing to connect the power to.
Right.
So, that's part of the whole compounding scenario with really any disasters. I mean, we could say the same thing about an earthquake in that regard. I mean, it's going to just disrupt the power utility. So, as we get more news on this you know, we'll learn more. And of course, the declarations for emergencies have been made that frees up money at the state and federal level to just be spent without having to go through, you know, legislative processes where someone writes a bill and they have to vote on it and they attach pork and all that other stuff. So this just gets money spent right away to bring in supplies and tools and whatever else, you know, big backhoes to get things cleaned up. If they have to bring them in from 50 miles away, that money pays for the drivers, for the transporters, for the fuel, for the whatever. So it just gets done without, you know, without having to hem and haw over it. You know, that hopefully gets things a little stable sooner rather than later. But stability won't come for a while after a disaster like this. There will be people who will be put out. They will be living probably in hotels until they can get into trailers, until they can work things out with their insurance and maybe get their homes rebuilt. Or if they decide to, just sell the land for whatever they can get and go move somewhere else because it's too difficult. That's what happens. I mean, we still have vast blocks of cities along the Mississippi Gulf Coast that 20-something years after Katrina, it's 20 years now after Katrina, are still empty.
Yeah.
Because people just said, I can't deal with this. This isn't happening fast enough. I've been living elsewhere for all this time. My kids are in new schools. They've made new friends. We have new jobs. Why go back at this point? And that's how you end up with ghost towns. So I don't know if you'll have that type of scenario fully. I think things are a bit more localized, but you'll have some of that.
You know, Evan Brown speaking with us right now, it's going to be important to just every once in a while we have a tragedy like this to stay with it, to continue to help these people. The website that you gave earlier, go.fox/TX flood relief. We've posted it here on our live broadcast for people to donate
a
comfortable, safe place where you can feel confident in sending your dollars. I just want to bring one last question to you. And it's part of, you know, we're broadcasting live, of course, over the radio on that free to listen to radio, but also on YouTube. And we have a live chat going right now. There's discussion about insignificant staffing, or not insignificant, inefficient staffing at the National Weather Service, the possibility that there might have not been enough people or attention or funding to the alert systems that could have done their job potentially better. I'm just wondering if there's any actual hard evidence or if that's part of the questions that will be asked later.
No, and from what we know, the National Weather Service did its job. You know, here's the thing. They could send out alerts to the cows come home. But if you're not listening on a NOAA weather radio that you bought for $15 at the grocery store, how are you going to know? If your phone is not picking up a cell signal, or you've turned off the alerts in the middle of the night because you don't want to be disturbed, how will you know? If you're, and I don't mean to pull the curtain back too far here, but if your local radio station de-staffs on a holiday weekend, how will they know?
Yeah. Those EAS alerts, I think they still go out.
They might, but we've had scenarios. Sure. There was one big foul up 20-something years ago in North Dakota where there was a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. The EAS went out, but it didn't go out locally on the broadcast radio station because they never installed the equipment, sitting in boxes. And so, you know, there are many places where a system like this could fail if not everyone is doing what they're supposed to do. Now, I'm not suggesting anyone in the local media there did or didn't or did something wrong. They could have done everything right and everything possible. We don't know yet, but there is, I think, a very easy way to point fingers at the National Weather Service or to point fingers at budget cuts of the National Weather Service and say, see, and the reality is A, we don't know, B, unlikely, and C, it may not have been their fault. There could have been other points along this cooperative chain that didn't do something, or something may have unexpectedly failed. What if there is a local radio station that got knocked off the air by the flood? I don't know, but you know, transmitters, especially AM radio, usually located in swampy wetlands. So, you know, that
there's a lot of behind the curtain going on right now. I love it.
Yeah. You know, well, that it works better for AM radio. So we don't know. Hopefully no one did anything wrong or failed. You know, hopefully we can just resolve to say this was an awful once-in-a-lifetime thing that no one could see coming, that no one could really deal with in the heat of the moment. And it's an awful tragedy, and we don't know why it happens, but we you know, we have to thank God that 850 people were rescued by water rescuers in the middle of this. My goodness, that's a miracle.
Yes. Keep getting the word out there. Eben Brown, we're grateful for you to be able to bring facts to
this. One last thing. My most favorite prophet of all time, the late Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. He would always tell a story about when bad things would happen when he was a child and what his mother would tell him. His mother would tell him, look for the helpers. It's a message he repeated on 9/11. He came out of retirement to film PSAs for children. And in this situation, too, look for the helpers. They give you hope. 850 people were rescued. That's amazing.
It is amazing. You get me choked up. Eben Brown, thank you for your time today. We hope you come back and give us the latest as the story develops. We appreciate you.
Will do.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Fox News Radio national correspondent. Gosh, Mr. Rogers. Do we have a Mr. Rogers today? Not like in character, but who is the Mr. Rogers of this generation?
Maybe Russell Brand.
Thank you for adding to the moment.
I can't think of anybody. I'm trying to think of somebody who's fully bipartisan. Everybody like Dolly Parton,
maybe
somebody like that.
Yeah, when Evelyn, my 9-year old, she used to go to the YMCA daycare when she was younger, and they signed all their kids up for her book program, and she'd get a book mailed to her every month, all paid for by Dolly Parton. It's pretty amazing. I don't know. Let us know who you think. Look for the helpers. We'll leave it there. Let's take a quick break. So you just mentioned the YouTube poll. The option this week, we found out Epstein did kill himself, which we kind of had heard already, and that there isn't a client list. The problem is that, you know, we played the Alina Haba clip a little bit earlier. She's like, the stuff you're going to see is wild.
Oh, yeah.
And that was from February. And then, I mean, it's not like Alina Haba is the only person in this Trump administration who has seen what is to be seen, because they're working with the administration. They have access to things. I just want the real facts. Whatever the real facts are, given to me straight. I can handle whatever it might be. When Pam Bondi is in there as the attorney general.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing JFK files, MLK files. That's all in the process of being reviewed, because that was done at the directive of the president from all of these agencies.
So have you seen anything that you said, oh, my gosh?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, we'll check back with you.
Have you seen the list on your desk? Have you looked at it, or was there just like on the side of your desk a manila envelope that says Epstein client list and you just hadn't opened it yet? And by the way, if that were on my desk, I would, like they do in the movies, two hands, two arms, clear everything off my desk and be like, put this right here, get out of my office, come back when I tell you. That's a pretty bold, confident statement. Months later, being like, there's no list.
It's the big problem with this story is that the messaging is a mess. Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, they have been very consistent. I will give that. If it was just them out there messaging on this, I'd say, I think I got a pretty good idea of what they're doing. It's the DOJ that has come out with Pam Bondi and Alina Haba. I can't remember what her exact role is.
She's like a state's attorney or a district attorney, if something like that. She's not way high up. She was one of Donald Trump's lawyers when the prior administration was trying to put him in jail. Do you trust Cash Patel?
I do.
Do you trust Dan Bongino?
I do.
Do you trust Pam Bondi?
It's been a little rougher road there.
I don't feel like I don't trust her. I don't think she's up for the job. And since she was appointed, I was like, okay. I've never been like, Pam Bondi, yes. When RFK Jr. officially was appointed, I was like, that's how you do it. Cash Patel, kind of the same vibe. Marco Rubio, my fave. Yes, please. And I felt that way every time he was appointed to something. Pam Bondi, if you say so, President Trump.
Yeah, that's the same for me, because I didn't know that much about her as the AG of Florida. I just understood that she did a good job in Florida. So I said, okay, well, all right. Could Matt Gaetz have been the AG?
No. No.
I don't know what that would have looked like, but she isn't, she does press conferences, and she doesn't give me a real strong sense of confidence. That doesn't mean that she's not good at her job. It means that she's not great to me with press.
Governor Ron DeSantis is done with his second term as governor in Florida in 2026, and X last night was suggesting that maybe per the completion of his governorship and the midpoint of the Trump second term, that maybe there'd be a little switcheroo. And I was like, yeah.
Ooh,
if I get Marco Rubio, and if Marco Rubio is the Secretary of State, and Ron DeSantis is the Attorney General, and Donald Trump is the president, that is anti-fried trifecta.
You're the big winner here.
Yes, and all of you subsequently. So.
I would also add this name to the list. Anybody? Jeff Sessions. No? No takers?
You're the worst.
Did you drink too much this weekend? Did you hit the sugar hard? Did you?
No, I didn't. I wanted to really bad, though.
Did you eat sugar?
Did you not
eat added sugars?
I ate zero added sugar all weekend. All weekend.
In my mind, you think added sugar is just when you go to the sugar bin and eat it with your spoon.
Yeah. It's like those jelly candies.
I completely cut that out of my weekend.
It's just boiling those down into sort of a paste and then pouring it down my throat.
You ever been to Planet Overstock?
Oh, yeah.
I know it.
In Collinsville?
I went there Sunday, yesterday.
Yeah.
Bought some things. It's basically an Overstock shop. Planet Overstock. Go there and tell him Annie sent you. I bought $50 worth of stuff.
That's easy to do.
And at the end of it, they handed me this big bag. And they're like, here, for spending $50, you get a free bag of candy. And it was all Peeps and jelly beans. I was like, give it to the next customer who's got a cute kid and wants some candy. We don't need this. But go to Planet Overstock and spend $50. They're not paying me to do this. In fact, I paid them. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.